Well, good morning, everyone. Father, what a joy it is to be able to pray to you. Lord, to get our minds on you and on the eternal things. And Lord, everything here is passing away. And we do thank you for your faithfulness. Lead us in this time of prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Well, in checking the Psalms, the word pestilence is used twice, and both are in Psalm 91. So we're going to look at 91 today. And I couldn't find a 91 Psalm. You know, I was thinking of Martin Luther's Mighty Fortresses Are God, but that's really written on Psalm 46. So we'll just go on to Rock of Ages. That's always good, isn't it? Because he is a Rock of Ages. So let's sing along with this one, if you will, or just listen, whichever the case may be.
Rock of ages, let for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be a sin that doth pure, save from wrath and
just as we get into Psalm 91, I just did want to mention, maybe you heard, maybe you didn't, but yesterday President Trump declared tomorrow a National Day of Prayer. And he said, we are a country that throughout our history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these. No matter where you may be, I encourage you to turn toward prayer in an act of faith. Together we will easily prevail. And the annual National Day of Prayer is May 7, but he declared this after the national emergency over the coronavirus pandemic, in addition to partnerships with several large companies to expand testing for the illness. Trump has large support from the white evangelical Christians and Catholic voters. As president, he's championed religious liberty and called for greater religious freedom, such as strengthening prayer in schools. So we need to pray for our president as well as others. Psalm 91. Not sure who wrote this. Often in the Psalms, if there's no writer, they go back to the Psalm before this. And the Psalm before this was written by Moses. And whether this is written by Moses or whether it's written by David or whether it's written by who knows, it's really from the Holy Spirit, so it doesn't matter who held the pen, right? It's all inspired. There are three things in this psalm as we read through it that it's specific about. These great promises in this psalm are not unconditional. They're not for everybody, but there's some conditions here. So see if you can pick those up, and at the end we'll share those and eliminate all doubts. But we begin, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." That's El Shaddai. So we actually have a couple of different names for Jehovah given here. And we have the one dwelling in the secret place. Where is the secret place? Well, typically that would be in the Holy of Holies, where God would designate. But I think it's just God's presence, being in his presence in an intimate, close relationship with him and dwelling there. That doesn't say you just walk by and peek in, but you dwell there. It doesn't even say that you rent a space for a season. It says you dwell there. And dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, then you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And just think, if you are walking in accordance with the Word of God and in accordance with the Lord has, you will not get into the sinful places that the unbeliever lives in, right? You won't get in a bar fight. You won't get in a drunken driving charge. You won't get in all kinds of transmitted diseases and so forth. Not, I'm talking about viruses, I'm talking about more personal than that. But you'll be free from that, right? Because that's not the way of the Lord. So he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of Yahweh, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. And I pray that is true for each of us in more than just reading it and saying, yeah, that's right, good idea, I like it. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, or those who want to capture you. And who wants to capture you? The number one on the list is Satan. He wants to capture you, right? And all the snares that he puts out through various ways. But surely he, the Lord, shall deliver you from the snare of the captor, of the fowler, and from the perilous pestilence.
Yes.
So we're reminded of that even today and in this particular time with the coronavirus stuff. But from the perilous pestilence, he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, in all these things, we don't want to tempt the Lord, right? You know, Vernon McGee had a cute little comment. He said, you know, occasionally he'll run into somebody that says, well, I know my days are numbered by the Lord and he protects me, and so I can drive any way I want, or I can go in front of a train. And Vernon McGee says, you'll find out that's the day that's the day the Lord has you numbered, if you go in front of a train. We don't want to tempt him. And remember how Satan tempted Jesus three times with the scriptures in his wilderness experience after the fasting and all. And of course, every time the Lord answered back from what book? Deuteronomy, which is known as the book of obedience, really. And so there's such a lesson in that obedience there. But surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Now, of course, these are figures of speech. It's not, he doesn't have feathers. And but it's like a mother hen who is very active protecting her chicks, right? And hovers over them and protects them. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. In those days, every fighting man of any rank always had a buckler to carry his shield and stuff, and he always had a bigger shield than the rest of the people. But he, the Lord, is our shield and our buckler, right? He's the one that is always with us and goes before us to protect us. And then it says, you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, Something about darkness seems to intensify terror, doesn't it? I mean, you can't really see and you're not quite sure what you hear at times, but you should not be afraid, nor of the arrow that flies by day. And of course, even when you can't see, there's things coming in at us, right? Nor of the pestilence, there's a word again. Second time, as I mentioned, the only two times in the book of Psalms. Nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. So basically, in him, we are not afraid no matter day or night, right? And then verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague, there's a word again, in a slightly different form, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Going on about the various ways of him protecting you and being your refuge. And then the final three verses, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So you see those three verses there that quantify who is being blessed here, or who will be blessed by him. The first word, first verse, of course, it's he who dwells in the secret place. It's that dwelling in the presence of God. And then on down, verse 9, because, there's a second one, because what? You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So he who dwells in the secret place shall abide under there. And then here it is, you have made him your dwelling place, you're dwelling in him. And then the third, 14th, because he has set his love upon me. We need to have that intimate, continuing love for the Lord above all else. Above all else. An unbroken, continuous, persevering love. And so that's who this psalm is for. He's making his point. The safest place in the whole world is that intimate, personal, obedient, and loving relationship with God. And so how much do you love him? And how easy is it for you to be pulled away from that love through distractions or maybe fear or whatever? Because that's where you want to be and that's where you want to stay. So if you get pulled away, get back as quickly as you can. Father, we thank you for this psalm and we just thank you for your protection and how we thank you for the opportunity to pray, Lord, and such a time. Always seems like this is the most critical time, but it is. Every day we have here on earth is a critical time to pray. And so, Lord, here we are. You blessed us here this morning and allowed us to get together, a few of us anyway, and pray. And so lead us now to utilize these moments in Jesus' name. Father, we do want to give you glory. Indeed, great things you have done. Our doing and will do, Lord, we can hardly wait for that second coming. Right around the corner, Lord. Oh, prepare your people, Lord, and may we be watching, waiting, working, Lord, until that day. These precious ones here, Lord, I just think of that great benediction in Jude. Now to him who's able to keep you from falling. Present you faultless before our Savior with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen.